हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सो वी स्टॉप्ड यस्टरडे इन भगवद गीता मेंशन देयर दैट कृष्ण वाज सेइंग दैट यावत्स व्हाट वी मेंशन फ्रॉम द भागवतम द सेम थिंग यावत् स्यात् गुणवैषम्यं तावन् नानात्वमात्मना नानात्वमात्मनो यावत् पारतन्त्र्यं तदैव हि. दैट वर्स mentioned about that, and Krishna also says there that the concept what we have in all religion is this, that God is there, the world is there, and I am there. Three things: me, God, and the world. Jiva, Ishvara, and Jagat. Three things, isn't it? But Krishna is saying, where these all three came from? There must have some origin from where all things have come. Where did I come from? Where did the God come from? Where did the world come from? So that is where what we mentioned about the Kathopanishad, that verse which mentions about the nature, that as long as we have this concept that God is sitting somewhere, it is called ajnanam. It is called ajnanam. That yade veha tadamutra yadamutra tadanyviha मृत्यु स्मृत्यु मापनोदि य इह नानेव पश्यति नानेव पश्यति. हू सेज़ दिस? यमधर्मराजा सेज़ दिस टू नचिकेतस. यमधर्मराजा सेज़ टू नचिकेतस यदेवेह तदमुत्र यदमुत्र तदान्विह यद 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 यदेवेह तदमुत्र यदमुत्र तदान्विह मृत्यु स्मृत्यु मापनोदि य इह नानेव पश्यति. सो व्हाट यू सी एज द वर्ल्ड here, or what you see as so many millions and billions of objects in this world, and living entities in this world, and their actions in this world, and is the same thing, is the absolute truth. It's not different from that. That, in other words, from the name and form and the modes of material nature, beyond than that, which has an existence, satta. Satta means an existence. That, and it is that thing which is known as Brahmam. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned as Brahmam. That Brahmam has manifested in all these different forms. Normally, that concept is not there in any other religions like that, isn't it? In religions, God is there, we have to worship God. And the world is there, we have to enjoy our life in this world. And there is a heaven there where God lives, and we go and enjoy life there, or whatever way it is. In a simple terms, I'm saying, this is general common class of people think like that. They accept religion in that way. I have to pray to God, I have to worship God, and He should give me what I need for my happiness in this world. And after my death, I should go to the heaven and live there. But these three things, Jiva, Ishvara, and Jagat, living entity, God, and the world, what's their connections? What is their relationship? That's important. And that relationship is, Brahman has manifested in different forms in this world. Different forms in this world. All living entities are also that form. The world is the same, another form of the same Brahman. Krishna is also Brahman. Brahmano hi pratishtaham, Krishna says. Brahman is the, I am the seat of the Brahman. So there is no difference in the sense that there is a relationship between everything. Relationship it is. Everything. We have discussed that yesterday. And then after that, Krishna mentions there, that which is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there, Yavatsyal Gunavaishamyam Tavan Nainatum Almana. Why do we perceive everything so different in this world? This perceptional problem. It is Yavatsyal Gunavaishamyam. Because of the differences in the modes of material nature, we are experiencing this variegatedness in the creation. In the vast, actually, in reality, there is only one thing, that is the soul. But in manifested form, in different bodies, in different people, different individuals, different species, all this is experienced in our perception through the senses. Yavatsyal gunaveshamyam tavan nanatum almana. As long as you have this gunaveshamyam, gunaveshamyam means this unbalanced state of the modes of material nature. When that is there, nanatum almana, you will experience nanatum. Nanatum means this variegated nature.
Nanatum Alpano Yavad Paratantram Tadevahi. As long as you have this Nanatvam in the Atma, in the soul, Paratantram Tadevahi. Paratantram means you are subjugated. You are subjugated by the material nature. You are under the subjugation of material nature. Then Krishna is saying there in that same chapter, you will see that it is in the 10th chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam, which Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita in a little more Yavat Syal Gunavai Shamyam Tavan Nanatvam Atmana Nanatvam Atmano Yavat Paratantram Tadaivahi Yavadasyala Swatantratvam Tavadishwarato Bhayam Ya Edat Samubhasiram Te Muhyanti Shucharpidaha. Krishna is saying here, Yavat Syal Gunavai Shamyam Tavan Nanatvam Atmana Nanatvam, all these various forms and names, what you are perceiving now, is due to guna vaishamyam, unbalanced state in the modes of material nature. And as long as you have that perception of this world in these different forms, paradandram tadaivahi, you are under the paradandrada, you are always in a helpless state. You are always in a helpless state. And yavadasyal asudarandatvam tavad ishwarado bhayam. As long as you are in that helpless state, you will always be frightened about a god. Ishwarado bhayam. You will always be fearful about God. In every religion it is there, isn't it? A fear of God is forced upon everyone, that you have to be frightened. He is up there watching you all the time, ready to take action on you. So this is injected into us, that yavasval asadandratvam, asadandratvam tavad ishwarado bhayam. And ya edat samavabhiyam te muhyandi shujarpidaha. That such a relationship with God is not the proper way. It's not the proper way. With knowledge it changes. With knowledge it changes, Krishna is saying here. So we also mentioned that yesterday, that in the jnanam changes everything. The knowledge changes everything. Just like we talked about the dream state, isn't it? Yesterday we saw that mind creates all these things. Mind creates another dream world in front of us. And we talked about the difference between Swarupam and Swabhavam. Swabhavam is different for everybody, depending on the vasana and the modes of nature. But Swarupam, there is no change in anyone. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava says to Krishna that Krishna instructed everything. It is after that this is happening. After Ekadasha Skandam was spoken and Krishna has instructed Uddhava everything, after that Uddhava is asking this question. So you can imagine that Uddhava has been given the knowledge of the Ekadasha Skandam and still Uddhava is asking. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, like this, he says, Sudushcharamimam manyim. Uddhava, in the 28th chapter, in the 11th canto, in the 28th chapter, after speaking about the transcendental knowledge, Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, practice all these things what I have spoken to you, and to that you should also control your mind and control your prana and pranayama. Do pranayama also and develop this charya. Charya means Yogacharya. Yogacharya means Ashtanga Yogam, they call it Charya. Charya means the discipline in life. The discipline in life. Yoga practice. Ashtanga Yoga practice, discipline. That means Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. All these things. Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, Yogacharyamimam yogi vicharan madavashraya andarayer vihanyeda nispraha susukhanubhu. That yogacharyamimam yogi vicharan madavashraya. Depending upon me, you execute all these yoga practices. He says to, that means jnanam, jnanamargam combined with ashtanga yoga. That is what in that chapter Krishna spoke to Uddhava. That is in the 28th chapter of the Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna mentions this to Uddhava. So, there are few questions. We will talk about that when we come to that chapter. But the significance of that is, when Krishna mentioned all these things, a lot of things is mentioned in that chapter. At the end of that, he said, Yogacharya mimam yogi vicharan madhavashraya andarayar vihanyeda nispriha susukhanubhu. Be situated on the platform of the self, susukhanubhudi. And be situated on the platform of the self and execute all this yogacharya. And you will come back to me. And he closed that chapter. Krishna closed that chapter. Immediately after that, Uddhava said to Krishna, Sudushchara mimam manye yogacharyamanalpana yad anjasa puman siddhye tanme bruhyanjasa achyudam prayasha pundarikaksham yunjado yogino manaha vishidandya samadhanam mano nigrahakarshidaham. Uddhava says to Krishna, Sudushchara mimam manye yogacharyam analpanaha. Uddhava says to Krishna, whatever you have said, that's all nice, but it's not practical for me. Just like Arjuna said to Krishna. Uddhava also saying to Krishna, it's not possible all of these things. You have to remember, Uddhava is about 123, 124 years old. Almost same age as Krishna. Krishna was 125. So you can take it like that. Closer to Krishna's age. And you tell him, now you start with pranayama, you start with all the asana, yogasanas and everything. How is that possible? Uddhava says, I don't know how many days I have left life in this body. And I need something now solid, some realization before I leave this body. Uddhava put it back to Krishna again. Sudushcharam imam manye yogacharyam analpanaha yad anjasa puman siddhye tanme bruhi anjasa chudaha. That give me some way where I can quickly realize the truth. I don't want all these long processes, because I have seen, Uddhava says, people who have practiced spiritual life through the yoga process for a long period and they haven't got anywhere yet after many years. They are finding it difficult to control their mind. It's important, isn't it? How to get the mind under control? Mano nirodham. That is what it is. Dashamaskandam is mano nirodham. How to control the mind? The mind is a whole problem in between the soul and us. We are not able to realize any truth, anything in relationship with the soul, because the mind is in between. Mind is telling us what spiritual life, what's all this nonsense. Mind is telling us from inside, why waste so much time on all this studying about the soul? Everything is so abstract, you don't even know whether it exists or not. And scientists are telling there is no such thing called soul. So what is favorable in this world for spiritual life? There is nothing. And this thing called mind inside, he is like a monkey. Mind is a monkey, isn't it? It will play havoc with us all the time. And that's why all the acharyas will say, they will hand over the monkey to Krishna. Says, you look after him now. I cannot look after him. He is such a pain at the back. So that is how it is, the mind. So Uddhava is also saying the same thing to Krishna. That this thing called mind, as long as it's there, all your so-called instructions to me about this yoga process, it seems to be, it's not going to work. Uddhava mentioned this to Krishna. That is what he's saying there. Prayasha pundarikaksham manu yunjando yogino manaha vishedandi asamadhanam mano nigrahakarshidaha vishedandi asamadhanam. Many yogis, they have prayasha pundarikaksha, Krishna, they have tried very hard to get their mind under control. They could not do it. They could not do it. Yunjando yogino manaha, great yogis, not ordinary people. Vishidandi asamadhanam, they always find themselves very much in a disturbed state of mind. Asamadhanam, disturbed state of mind. Mano nigraha karshidaha, they are finding it very difficult to control their mind. So, this, you read these verses, it will give you a lot of solace when your mind is also going out of control. You shouldn't get worried too much about it. That sometimes we say like that, isn't it? When we get disturbed, we think that, oh,
it's only me who gets disturbed, everybody else is not. No, Uddhava also is get saying the same thing. That is how difficult it is to get this mind under control. Vishidandi asamadhanam mano nigraha karshitaha. It is so difficult to get this mind under control. People have tried and it hasn't worked. Uddhava says this to Krishna. So, when this was spoken, Krishna says to Uddhava that in my age, Krishna Uddhava saying, I'm 120 or 25 or whatever that is, he says to Krishna, then this yoga sadhana, what you are talking to me, I have tried all this in the beginning. It hasn't given me any strength. And not only that, when I have practiced it, sometimes I used to feel some satisfaction from that. While engaging in this yoga practice, I used to feel some satisfaction from that for some time. But as soon as I stop that yoga practice, everything changes again. The mind comes back and it starts its usual business. The mind's business. So I have seen many yogis, Uddhava says, in this world, in that situation. So, so he says, all of them have tried very hard to control their mind. And Vishidandi, they tried very hard and they are also stuck in this world with their mind. Because you try to control the mind, but the mind swallows you. That's what normally happens, isn't it? We think we have got some control over the mind, but then the next thing what the mind does is it swallows you completely. It takes complete control of you. So even in the first stage itself, there is trouble. Then when people tell you you should not create all the six kinds of problems, lust, anger, greed, kamam, krotham, lobham, madam, matsaryam, all these problems are there in the mind, isn't it? Kama, krotha, lobha, moha, madha, malsaryam. Six things, isn't it? So all these things are there, and even if I try to correct one of them, next thing happens is the mind takes over everything. It doesn't allow you to anything. Similarly, people say that don't get angry. Don't get angry. And then we will fight over that issue. After somebody tells you not to get angry, you'll get more angry at that time. About that, isn't it? So here, what Krishna is saying here is that all these things, if you believe that the mind is there, then you've got all these problems. Krishna is trying to tell us some clue how to free yourself from these problems. Mind is such a thing. If you ask anyone, where is the mind? You don't know where it is, but he's there. This is the difficulty with this thing called mind. You don't know where it is in the body. You can't point out and say, where is the mind? And therefore, people have a difficulty in acceptance of this mind. But some people, science, psychological people, psychiatrists and all, they accept there is a thing called mind. But if you ask them, where is it? That they don't know. But it's there. It's there. So he's like a person who plays with you all the time. The mind plays with you all the time. So first thing is, if you want to win over that, you have to accept that he doesn't exist. Krishna's point is that. That is Jnanamargam. They don't believe that a thing called mind exists. Mind has no existence. Because if you give a reality to mind, accepting that mind exists, then he will never go. This is the problem with this mind. If you are thinking that you will purify your mind and everything will come under control, that's not going to happen very easily. Okay, in the realized state, there is no mind. When self-realization happens, there is no mind. But normally, in order to move away from the mind, mental platform we say, isn't it? Mental platform. We say, devotees say each other, Prabhu, you are on a mental platform, we say. Who is not on the mental platform? I would like to know that. Who is not on the mental platform? When somebody says that, you have to laugh at it. When somebody says, Prabhu, you are on a mental platform, they say. But who is not on the mental platform? Everybody is on the mental platform. And one who is on the mental platform is telling another one who is on the mental platform the same thing. So that is how it is. So mind is not possible to take it away, change it. Easiest thing, Krishna is saying, you ignore it straight away. You ignore it. So if you accept the existence of the mind, it will not go. So initially, first thing is, you deny it, the existence of the mind. So how will you deny? How can you win over the mind? One answer is, scorch it by ignoring it. Scorch it by, this is Ramana Maharshi's answer. Scorch it by ignoring it. Don't give any attention to the mind. And burn it yourself. Completely reject it and ignore it and burn it. And if you do that, if you say, believe that it exists, and if you burn it like that, it will come up and stand like a huge demon in front of you, the mind. The mind is a very interesting phenomenon, isn't it? In the Tattvabodham it says, mind is all anirvachaniya shakti. Anirvachaniya means, you can't say it does exist, you can't say it doesn't exist. And you can't define it either. Some force which has manifested from the soul. That is this thing called the mind. So, in another interesting thing, I am saying this, it is interesting to think about this. Suppose if you recognize that the mind exists, suppose if you recognize the mind does exist, then all the sadhana what you do, all the sadhana what you do is like a thief who dressed like a policeman and does the job what he wants to do. You know that story, don't you? That in a house something was stolen, and the householder told all the people next to his house that some thief has entered into my house and has stolen so many things, jewelry, cash, everything he has taken away, he said. So all the neighbors wanted to catch the thief. Where is he hiding? He may not have left the house, he must be somewhere. So what the thief did, he also dressed up like a policeman. And as though he is also searching for the thief. Will you find the thief? You will never get the thief, would you? He has also joined everybody else to searching for the thief. The thief himself is doing this. Similarly, the mind is like this thief who dress up like a policeman. The moment you think that you are doing sadhana with the mind, what does the mind do? Mind will work in such a way that mind will take over everything, and mind will give you the impression that he is doing the sadhana. I am doing the sadhana. He won't allow you to do the sadhana even properly. Mind will take over. This is the reason why Krishna is saying, while executing any sadhana, spiritual sadhana, you have to hand it over to Krishna first. Krishna is doing the sadhana through this body. You have to think like that and do the sadhana. Otherwise, your false ego is doing everything. And there, you will be cheated. You will be cheated. So, never you will be able to catch him. Because he himself is the thief who is causing all the problem. You sit down to chant the holy name. And whole time, he is there with you. Involved in everything. Even while chanting, he will be telling you, why are you wasting time like this? Or he will bring you all the thoughts in this world at that moment in front of you and make you feel that there is something more important business to do in this world than chanting the holy name. He will create that and convince you at that point. And that's why your round become weaker and weaker and you cannot chant the holy name anymore. Afterwards, he will take you out from the chanting and you will stop chanting. That is his success. That's the way he works. So he is like that. He is supposed to help you to get spiritually advanced. But on the other hand, he is the thief who dresses like a policeman, he comes, and you are thinking you will use this mind and you will make progress in spiritual life, isn't it? If you trust him, this is what you will get at the end. It will never happen. It will never happen. That is the way he operates. So, if you search for him who is dressed up like a policeman, will you find him? So, if you do any sadhana, recognizing this mind, never you will have any peace inside. You will never have any peace inside. Because actually there is no such thing called mind, only Krishna is there. Only Krishna is there. There is no such thing called a mind. Either there is Krishna or there is mind. One of them you have to recognize. Either you have to recognize Krishna or you have to recognize the mind. One who recognizes that the mind is there, he cannot recognize that Krishna is there. That is how difficult it is. How difficult it is in engaging in spiritual life. When we are constantly fighting with the mind will involve first. In everything what you do, the mind will get involved. And he will tell you this is how you have to do it. And he will take control of everything and you have gone. Finished. Everything is over. So that is why it is mentioned that is why devotees will say like this, that this if Krishna is there in one's conviction or in his understanding that he is following Krishna rather than the mind, whatever madness the mind creates, it will not cause any problems. In other words, if you accept that the mind is nothing but a slave of Krishna's slave. So that is how devotees talk about the mind. Advanced devotees, that is how much importance they give to the mind. Devotees don't say the mind doesn't exist. Devotees say, I have no mind, mind is in Krishna, I have handed it over to Krishna. This is how the devotees will say. Jnanis will say, there is no such thing called mind. Jnanis deny the mind, devotees hand it over to Krishna. You can do whatever your way of spiritual life you want to go with. But this is necessary. Devotees hand the mind over to Krishna. Jnanis deny the existence of the mind. So, some acharyas are saying that this mind also is coming from the soul, isn't it? So it's also Devi Prakriti. Devi Prakriti. So, one acharya says that thinking about mind as a girl to be married, he says, I married him to Krishna. I handed over him to Krishna, in other words. Let Krishna marry my mind and take control of her. Because everything I am... Buddhi kanyam pradanye. Buddhi kanyam pradanye. This girl and mind, I handed over her to you. Buddhi or mind. Intelligence and mind are one and the same. That is also another thing you have to know. You see, in the subtle body, depending the subtle body means our vasana inside. That vasana will act in different ways. It's not all separate compartments. There's no compartments there. One and the same thing. Because it's a... you have to remember this buddhi what we are referring to is not the buddhi what the scientists are referring to. It's a different thing. This buddhi, nishyalpiya buddhi, sangalpa vikalpa mana, this is the understanding. Sangalpa vikalpa means mind creates all kinds of thoughts, thought waves brings it. Intelligence picks up one from that, buddhi picks up one from that. And they are together always. Buddhi and manasa is always together. So in the subtle body, there are four things. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. Chittam is the... how these vasanas are, mind is the one which makes sankalpa vikalpam, buddhi is the intelligence, and ahankaram is the false ego, and chittam is the continuation of these vasanas inside. All these things together is one package inside, which is known as subtle body. So in that subtle body, devotees will say like this, buddhi kanyam pradanyi, I am handing over this girl to you, to Krishna, for you, and whatever he does after that, that is the husband of the newly married girl, isn't it? Because she is married now. My mind, I've handed it over to Krishna. Krishna has married her, considering as a girl. And now you, it is your husband's responsibility how she behaves. So, just like if a girl is married, if the girl is married, after the marriage is over, it is the responsibility of the husband to make sure that everything goes well in life. It's not anymore the duty of the father or the mother. It is not the duty of the father or the mother. It's the duty of the husband to make sure everything goes well. So only the responsibility with the father is only up to the point till the girl is married. So similarly, how long we have to protect this thing called mind till we hand it over to Krishna? Till we hand this over to Krishna. So, after you have handed it over, there is no necessity to worry about it anymore. Because it's not ours anymore. It is till we once you have handed it over to Krishna. So, that is one of the sadhana Krishna is saying here, that if you hand over the mind to Krishna, that is what Krishna is saying to Arjuna also, that if you allow me in charge of your mind, then you won't have these problems. Tasmatvam uttishta yasho labhasva jitva shantrun bhunkshirajyam samardham maye vede nihida purvamevam nimitta matram bhavasavyasachin. That verse, this is what it is indicating. That maye vede nihida purvamevam nimitta matram bhavasavyasachin. From this verse, all this understanding is taken out. This is what that indicating to us. That tasmatvam uttishta yasho labhasva jitva shatrum bhunksha rajyam samardham mayai vede nihida purvam evam nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. That making Arjuna understand that Arjuna, you are nothing actually. You hand over that mind to me and I am in charge. Then after that you don't have to worry. So long as you are thinking that you are making the decision, you are doing everything, kartrutvam will be there. Ragadvesham will be there. And bhoktrutvam will be there. Four things will be there, which is addressed as samsaram. So, but a devotee, if a distress comes in life, that is Krishna's problem after that. If a distress comes in life, it is Krishna's problem. If we do like that, what is the benefit? The benefit is this. Slowly, slowly, all the vasanas inside will go away. This is the way of eradicating the vasanas from inside. By surrendering. This is surrender, isn't it? Handing over the mind to Krishna means what? Surrender to Krishna. In other words, a different language, that's all. But if you develop it as a sadhana inside of handing over the mind to Krishna, in due course of time you will see many of the vasanas what is inside will slowly disappear. This is a very complex subject, this vasana. Vasana is a very complex subject. These vasanas will disappear and the mind will become more peaceful. This is what is called in the Shastra as yajanam and removing the prakriti or swabhavam from us. We talked about two things yesterday, swarupam and swabhavam. How we remove the swabhavam from inside is through this process, through surrender to Krishna, handing over the mind to Krishna. Let Krishna decide what's good. Whatever happens, it is Krishna's decision. To firmly fixed on that. And to remove the swabhavam of a person and allow the swarupam to manifest, that will only happen in this way. Only will happen in this way. There is no other way it will happen. People ask this question all the time. How do I change my vasana? How do I change my vasana? The answer to that question is hand over the mind to Krishna. In another language, surrender to Krishna. Or whatever happens in life, Krishna is making the decision. Accept it completely and develop it as a sadhana in life. In which case, you won't feel any more problems with that mind. And these vasanas, what is inside, what is causing problems, they will leave you one after the other. They leave you one after the other. But, even though it is like that, some powerful vasanas, they won't go like that. Minor vasanas, smaller ones, there's a lot of vasanas inside, isn't it? It's only one, not one vasana. If it's one vasana, you can do something about it. How many vasanas, you don't know yourself, how many vasanas you've got inside. It manifests now and then in the form of lust, anger, greed, competition, envy, jealousy, and all sorts of things. These are all vasanas, different kinds of vasanas inside, isn't it? Those vasanas which are not very powerful, they can be removed in this way by surrendering to Krishna and handing over the mind to Krishna and leaving the responsibility to Krishna. Leaving the responsibility to Krishna. But powerful vasanas, that you cannot remove it in this way. That not only that, even though that person may be a very nice person, very good person, still sometimes that vasanas will come through him. Vasanas will manifest through him. So you can see that in great personalities it happens. This thing can happen. Not only in ordinary people, we are talking about very powerful personalities. This happens. This kind of thing. That they are perfect in everything. But when it comes to some vasana, they cannot win over that. It's there in them. Very deeply ingrained in them. Deeply ingrained in them. Just to give you some one or two examples, simple examples. Someone who is a very rich person, very rich person. He has enough money to buy anything. He has got a wealthy person. He goes to visit a friend of him, and when he went there, in the reception room, on the table, he saw something very nice. Very nice. And when he saw that, a desire developed inside. He wants to have it. He wants to have it. And so instead of, he thought about it and he just asked the man who was whom he was visiting. He says to him, "Where did you buy this from?" So from the very question itself, the other person understood that he would like to have it. So he said, "Oh no, no, I got this from my son, brought it from somewhere," and something like that. He said like that. So looking at that, he said, "Can you find out where it is? I would like to get one of that." Because the desire is not allowing him to, because normally it is not considered very nice to ask in that way, isn't it? I don't know, in the modern world it is acceptable, but in today's world you can say anything, what suits you, you do it. That's the principle. But in the past, it was considered to be not proper to ask like that things, isn't it? So, so he says, "Find out where it is coming from. I'd like to get one of these," he says. So seeing his desire for it, the man says to him, "Well, you can take it if you want. I'll get one myself. I'll ask him to get another one," he says. So without any problem, he takes it with him and goes away. Now that is vasana inside. Now if we want to get one, it's not so difficult. But still, that attachment, in very strong desire to possess something like that, is a weakness in that person. That's a vasana inside. And then there are some other people who are more interesting than that. They'll go somewhere and they'll find something, especially in the nice big 5-star hotels and all that. When they go, they were sitting for the dinner, and some big expensive hotels, they will use some very expensive cutlery and all that. When he has got money to buy that, but he still likes, when he goes, cutlery will be missing. It will be gone. He'll take it away with him. And after coming back to the room, he says to his friend, I nicked it from the restaurant," he says. That is vasana. Such vasana won't go easily. People do all these kind of things. And sometimes very, very rich businessmen, they'll go to these big restaurants, and the kind of things they do there, you will be shocked to see what they do. This is quite common. That's why in the best hotels, you will see what they do on the cutlery. They put their names, Hotel Intercontinental, this one. It's because of these big businessmen who nick them. because of this. And it happens in all the big stores also, in Harrods also, it happens. Yeah, everywhere. They're not suffering for want of this, but it's just that the nature in the person, that intense desire builds up inside to have that, and straight away they make the decision to have it. So this kind of vasana does exist in people. It is not possible. If it is very strong, that vasana, then some people, when they visit houses also, when they go, you will have to check everything is there. Like that people also, this kind of, all sorts of people you will find in this world. So this kind of vasana inside a person is very powerful, is very powerful. And sometimes you know that something they have nicked, and then they later on think, why did I do that? Why did I do it? They ask the question themselves, and they don't know what to do. They can't return it. No, look, I have nicked it from your house, here it is back. So all these kind of things happens in life. This kind of things happens in life. So this is what is called vasana. Vasana is powerful inside, and he will rule you. He will control you in every step. So, and very powerful vasana, you cannot easily wipe it out in that way. Smaller vasanas, to a large extent, you can get out of it by surrendering in this way to Krishna, because complete surrender is also difficult in that way. We will say we have handed over the mind to the control. We have handed over the mind to Krishna. But the very next moment, if a powerful wave comes, the thing what you have handed over, you'll take it back. You want to control it again. This is the very game the mind is playing all the time with us. So, examples are given like this. Anjaneya Swami, Hanuman, isn't it? It's the finest example. Now, there is no one who is more perfect than him in everything. In speech, in thoughts, in action, everything he is perfect. Who says this? Siddha Devi says this, Ramachandra says this. There's no one who is more perfect than him. Maha Tapasvi. Amount of tapasya he has executed is amazing. Tapasya he has executed. And he goes to Lanka, Sri Lanka. And great yogi he is. He knows all the yogam. He is your complete jnani. He is full knowledge of the shastram. He can speak with perfection. Ramachandra has vouched for that. And he is searching for Sita Devi everywhere in Lanka. While searching, he saw Mandodari, who Ravana's wife. She is beautiful, like Sita Devi, isn't it? So first he thought, when he saw Mandodari, that is this Sita Devi? He thought like this. And in because of the excitement he has, what happened was, he displayed his monkey qualities straight away, on the spot, immediately, without any thing. He says, at that point, that control and that yogam and that knowledge, everything left him, gone away from there. So he showed his nature of the monkey at that time. Who says that? Valmiki says. Valmiki says, Aspotyam asam chuchumba puchaham nananda chikirda jagau jagama stambam marohan nipapada bhumo nidarshamasvam pragritim kabinam. Valmiki says like this about Hanuman at that time. He says, Asvotyamasa, he clasped his arms. You know, like we clasp our hands, he clasped that. Chujumba Pucham took his tail and kissed the tail out of happiness. Nanandam Chikrida Jagau Jagamam. He was delighted with the whole thing and he started playing in his natural form. In a natural way, monkey's nature is like, monkeys are like that. They will, when they get something from you, sometimes in Vrindavan and all, they will steal something from you. Suppose you have gone shopping and you brought some food and you are going home, before you know the food has gone. And he's sitting there on the top of the tree with the bag in the hand and looking at you, showing his teeth. And there's all sorts of things, isn't it? It's a big problem and there's no solution to the problem yet. So similarly, people go and old people, they will nick their glasses. Before you know the glass is gone, before you start looking, the glass is gone. and he sits there and he's looking at you with a glass in the hand. So that is his nature. So that's why it's there. Aspotyamasa chuchumba pucham, that he kissed his tail, and nananda chigi echikrida jagau jagamam. He was delighted, he was playful, and he started singing. Stambham aroha nipapada bhumau. And he started moving like a monkey, in a proper monkey form. And he started climbing the pillars in the palace. And from there he fell down on the land. Monkeys do all that, isn't it? They climb the tree and fall from the tree. And that's their playful nature. So Hanuman, such a personality, that vasana has not left him, because that is in the upadhi. You can't do anything about it. We'll discuss it next time. It's a long subject. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.